You want to have another look at that reading on your own. It's Romans 8 from verse, I guess it was up there, 18. Romans 8, 18 to 25. Speaks, I think, about a contrast, isn't it, of suffering and need in different ways, but also speaks about hope and speaks about the children of God are waiting to be revealed. And I think speaks about the fact that if the children of God are playing their part, then indeed there is hope for the future. In that passage, there three times was repetition of a word which you wouldn't normally expect to read in the New Testament. And that was the word groan or groaning. And Paul says that the whole creation is groaning. And you can almost hear it, can't you? The creation groaning under the weight of pollution. The creation groaning under the heaviness of greenhouse gases encircling the globe. The groaning, the earth groaning under the wounds of deforestation. Groaning and weeping for its extinct animals and birds and insects. And so the word desecration, I think, is not too strong a term, a very appropriate one. It comes from the word sacred. It's the opposite of sacred. A dictionary definition of desecrate is to violate a sacred place. And our world is a sacred place. It's a holy place because it has been created by God. And God is holy, and the things that God makes are holy, they are special, they are sacred. But of course, we as humans have violated this sacred place. And as much as we may want to, we can never reverse some of the effects of that destruction. We can never reverse the extinction of creatures, or some of the other effects of the desecration of the planet. But there are some things that can be recovered or restored if humanity has the resolve to make the necessary changes. And we can move from desecration to recreation as we reduce and recycle and rethink and reuse. We can prevent further destruction. And friends, as Christians, we don't really have a choice. Sadly, I think sometimes it's not so much the church that has been at the forefront of protests about the world and climate change. We should be at the forefront because we are talking here about God's creation. We're not just talking about our future and the dangers for the future. First and foremost, we are talking about sin against God and what God has made, God the creator and the giver of life. We really don't have a choice. As God's representatives on earth, we need to be at the forefront of speaking out and acting against further destruction of God's creation. Earlier this week, I went to hear Philip Yancey speak, and one of the statements he made is that God is the greatest recycler of all. God is the greatest recycler of all. God can take a piece of trash and turn it into something wonderful. He can take a piece of trash like John Newton, a slave trader, and make him into the writer of probably the best known religious song in the world, Amazing Grace. And it's, of course, a song that describes that radical recycling, if we can call it that. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. St. Paul, who, of course, was himself totally recycled and recreated. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. A new creation, a recreation. Because God doesn't just do a patch-up, panel-beading job. He makes a whole new thing. And we may not be able to bring complete recreation in our world, but God can do that in our lives. It doesn't matter how desecrated, how damaged a life may be. God is in the business of recreation. I don't know if you're familiar with this song, which for me describes that very well. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. And he made something beautiful of my life. God's in the business of recycling and renewing and recreating. He made something beautiful, something good. Speaking of beautiful, earlier this week, Angela and I watched a lovely movie, which you must try and see if you can, called Beautiful Fantastic. It's about a young woman who is renting a house, and she has let the garden go to complete rack and ruin. It's overgrown. It's a jungle of weeds. And she is given a month by the estate agent to rectify things, otherwise she will be evicted. But since childhood, from something that happened, she is terrified of nature, or the great outdoors, as she calls her back garden. And she knows nothing about gardening. And so she eventually ventures out, a bit like David Livingstone, I think, with a pith helmet and a net over him, her to protect her from any dangerous insects or animals. But fortunately, she lives next door to an expert gardener. He's not a very pleasant human being, but he's a very good gardener. And slowly, after a while, they develop a good friendship. And he helps her create a wonderful garden, and she helps him become a better human being. And together they create this beauty from the chaos that existed there before. And it just reminded me that we too are tenants. We are tenants on the earth. It doesn't belong to us. That is not our earth. This is not our world. It is God's earth and God's world, and he has just lent it to us. We are tenants, and we are accountable to the owner for how we treat it. And our very lives are not our own. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, you are not your own, you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. You were bought with a price. And the price, of course, was the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. The death that makes possible new life and recreation. And the hope and the good news is that ultimately we can look forward to a new heaven and a new earth when we ourselves will be totally new, not just on the inside, but also on the outside, with a resurrection body and a new earth and a new heaven. Beautiful, fantastic, indeed. Amen.